Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Sorry you weren't on last week. I had no internet. I had some work getting done to it, and I have too much equipment to just tap it into my phone. So, anyway, we're here. We're back. The season got underway. We had the Busch Clash, the Lucas Oil 200 Arca Series. Interesting stuff there. And the NHRA kick off their season in Pomona. It was a year when everybody's coming off of their championships. Erica Enders getting her third, or Robert Height getting one. Steve Torrance, who for some reason couldn't make the field or wasn't going to be at Pomona kicking off at the Winter Nationals, which was kind of weird when you're the defending champ. But they did say that due to unfortunate circumstances, they weren't going to make it. So we don't know what happened, or I don't know what happened, and I guess they were keeping it quiet. We also learned the passing of John Andretti, former IndyCar and NASCAR driver, the first man to run the Memorial Day 1100, which set the stage for Robbie Gordon, Kurt Busch, a couple others have done it as well. Not an easy feat, but he was the first guy to do it, and he was only 56, colon cancer claimed him. Thoughts and prayers out to the Andretti family. He was Mario's nephew. Michael's cousin, and of course, Marco's cousin, so when somebody that young goes to for something like that, it's sad. It's way too soon, and not something you want to see. I mean, you want when they get in their like 70s or 80s, you know, and they're retired, it's one thing. But anyway, let's see. Let's kick off the season results with the NHRA. Your number one qualifier was Brittany Force, looking to start the season, get back into championship form. She didn't make the countdown and just fell a little short. But it came down to Brittany's teammate, the number two qualifier, and Doug Austin Proc and Doug Kalita in the finals. And then when all was said and done, it was Doug Kalita taking the Wally with a 369 with an 8 and a 038 reaction. Austin off the top, off the tree pretty close at an 041, but had issues getting down the track. Wound up with a 10.9, so that relegates him to the runner-up spot. Leah Pruitt had the fastest ET. I guess was Pritchett last year, so I guess she's single again. I'll try to get her on. Let's see if I can find her contact list people, because she was up there qualifying. It seemed to be Ladies' Day. She had set the she was number three. It was a whole empty bunch of empty spots in the ladder. I think number 13 was the lowest. Let me check. Yeah, it was a pretty light field. Which is kind of weird, because 1-16, normally 2-14, and 3-13, so. Not a lot of people getting out to Pomona in this. First event. Leah with the 365 was the lowest ET of the day. Best reaction time was Doug Kalita with an 036. He did that in round two. And then Brittany Force with the top speed at 336 miles an hour. On to the funny car division. Finals came down to Fast Jack Beckman and the king of drag racing, John Force. Fast Jack wasn't the fastest in qualifying, but he was fast enough. He was number two. John Force was number five. So let's follow the ladder to how they got there. Number one qualifier was Matt Hagen. He made it to the semifinals, but round one, it was John Force and Bob Bodie. 092 with a 387 for John Force. Bob Bodie a 102, 10.7. In other words, you were coasting down the track, you blew up. Tommy Johnson Jr. in round two. John Force getting the better off the tree with an 058. Then Tommy Johnson's 083, but Force is 4.01 with a 1. That Tommy Johnson, traction issues with an 8.4. Give it the Force against Matt Hagen in the semis, the number one qualifier, versus the number two, John Force, with an 032, which is pretty darn good for a funny car, because usually they run a little bit higher than that. You don't start seeing that low reaction until you get into the pro stocks and the motorcycles. But 392 with a 3 for Force. Matt Hagen, 5 100s off the tree slower. That's a big jump. And he wound up with an 885. So Hagen goes down up to the final round. And it was a close one. 065 for Force, 081 for Beckman. But John Force's 389 with a 7 to Beckman's 383 with a 7. So you're looking at 6 one-hundredths. It makes up for the 2 one-hundredths difference that Force got off the line to take the Wally. So low ET of the day was the 383 in the finals for Beckman. So proving he was fast Jack. But that 032 reaction time went to John Force in the semis. That was the best one of the day, and fast Jack with the top speed of the day, 333.33. You couldn't have wrote that any better, all threes. So the Wally goes to Beckman, Doug Kalita. Let's take it down to see it pro stock. There was only three events running, no motorcycles, no pro mods. So it only came down to the top three divisions in the Mellow Yellow Series in pro stock. The finals came down to Jake Coughlin and Jason Lyon. Jake Coughlin announced he's going to retire as a driver this year, after this year. So kicking off his first event in the finals, let's see how he did. Jason Lyon and qualified 7th up against Alex Laughlin in round 1, 025 to 037 off the tree. Laughlin usually pretty good, but Jason, a little older, a little more experienced, takes the win with a 656 to with a 9, but Laughlin had a 656 with a 1, so that 0.01 reaction time difference gave him the whole shot over Laughlin. So then up in round 2 against Fernando Cuadra Jr., Cuadra red light with a minus 041. It would have been good if it was without that minus. Jason Lyon with an 059. 657 to a 678 for Lyon. Takes the win. Didn't have to worry about it, though. Been up against Eric Anders, the number 3 qualifier. Her up against Lyon with a... She got the best of them off the tree with an 033 to his 040, but his 658 to her 662... was enough to get him into the final round. Now, Jake Coughlin, number 1 qualifier for Elite Motorsports. Eric, his teammate, up against Joey Gross, the number 16 in round 1, is 654. 053 off the tree, Gross 069, so he's at a disadvantage there, a 0.16 disadvantage. Then up against the 654 to a 6.7 even for Gross. Send the Gross up against Chris McGahey. I mean, sends Coughlin up to Chris McGahey. 028 to 047 for Coughlin. 654 with a 6 with 657 with a 4. Takes out McGahey up against Kenny Delco. .040 for Coughlin, .067 for Delco, .653 with a 5, .671 for Delco, Coughlin in the 6.5 range up until the finals. Can he do it again against Jason Lyon? Yes, Lyon, .018 to .027 for Coughlin. Lyon gets the better part of the light as they get down the track. And Jason Lyon, .656, good number. But Coughlin with a 652 with a 2. takes it in a photo finish. Which nullifies Line's shot of the whole shot. If Line would have got down that track, crossed that finish line first, he would have got it, but the reaction time wasn't enough of a gap to do that. So, Lowy T was a 652 of the two in the final round. Did it when he needed it. Best reaction time was a 002 by Fernando Cuadra. And that was round one. And he jumped in a little bit and faulted out in round two. Otherwise, he might have been there. And then top speed, 210.8 for Jed Coughlin. So he takes three of the four categories. He takes the win, takes the low ET, and the top speed. All in the same pass. So let's check the standings after the first event. So right now in pro stock, it's a tight race with 85 points between first and 10th. Doug Kalita with the win is in first, Austin Proc in second, 18 back, and Brittany Force in third, 30 back. Leah Pruitt in fourth. Clay Milligan, fifth. Justin Ashley, sixth. Sean Reed, seven. Sean Langdon in the Kalita Air DHL Dragster is in eighth. He was running the funny car last year, but I don't see. So he's back up in where he won his championship in the top fuel division. That's when he ran for Al Anabi, and he was on the show. So he's no stranger to Garage Talk Live. He was actually on a couple of times. Funny car. Fast Jack in the top spot. Of course, he won. Jack John Force second, 32 back, Matt Hagen third, Alexis DeJoria back in it after a couple of years off in the Rocket ABK Beer Toyota Camry. Look to get her on the show again. No more Patron. Not driving for, but I'm sure Daddy's there, even though his brand isn't on. Unless he's got a new brand. I don't know. You never know. John Paul DeJoria is an entrepreneur. You might know him from hair products and Patron. So he could be back there. Robert Hayton, fifth. Tommy Johnson, Jr., sixth. Ronnie Capp, seventh. Tim Wilkerson, eighth. Paul Lee, ninth. And then J.R. Todd rounds out the top 10. On the pro stock, let's see. Let me guess. Jay Coughlin leads the points. Yes. Jason Lyon, second. 36 back. Eric Enders, third. 50 back. Close by, Kenny Delco, fourth. 53 back. And then you have fifth through 10th was Matt Hartford, Chris McGahey, Steve Graham, all 78 back, so there's a tie there for fifth. Then Fernando Cuadra in eighth, the one back of those three. Derek Kramer and then Bo Butler in the 10th spot. So there are your standings for your top three NHRA divisions. I have to get in touch with Dina Parisi, who's driving Pro Mod in the NHRA, and find out when she's going to make her debut. I think they're the Lucas Oil series. Let's find out. Top alcohol dragster, top alcohol funny car. Nope. I don't see the Pro Mod division in that section. Let's see. Not even. All right, let's go to the ARCA Lucas Oil 200 driven by General Tire. So you know what kind of tires they're using. They're not using Firestones or Michelins or Goodriches. They're using General Tire because they're sponsoring the series. The race, actually. Anyway, this is race number one. 80 laps, 2.5 miles. Race took 1 hour, 43 minutes. Average speed. .663 mile. Pole speed, 182. 6 cautions for 27 laps. Margin of victory, .125. And that's where it gets interesting. 5 lead changes. Michael Self qualified on the pole, led 61 laps for Venturini Motorsports. Took the checkered flag pretty much on his bumper, tying the highest finishing spot at Daytona by a female. Haley Deegan tying my friend Shauna Robinson, and Erin Crocker Everingham, Ray Everingham's wife, who, if you all listened to me back on the WNJC days, she was on the show a few times. I actually got to interview her in person at the motorsports show up in Fort Washington. Number three, Drew Dollar for Venturini was... Number three was Drew Dollar for Venturini. Number four, Sean Corr, Thad Moffitt. In fifth, that's Richard Petty's grandson, Jason White. In sixth, from Canada. They're showing the flags there because there's a couple of Canadians in there. One of them, one of the females, three females in the race. Riley Herbst was seventh. Willie Mullins, eighth. Brett Holmes, ninth. And Scott Melton was 10th. Involved in a wreck, qualifying 10th and 19th. Having a good run up until the wreck, probably in that 10th spot as well. Finished 25th, the number 30, Dominique Van Wieringen. And in 26th, Natalie Decker. Now, I don't know if Dominique is running full schedule, but I know Natalie is for Ken Schrader. And the number two finisher, Haley Deegan, is driving the Ford for DGR, which is David Gilliland. If y'all know him, he used to run in NASCAR as well. So now he's a car owner and owns Haley Deegan's car. She's driving the Monster Energy. Also driving for Gilliland, who had a was right behind her in the draft up until the final thing, finishing 16th, was Tanner Gray, former NHRA Pro Stock champ. Had an oil leak. There was smoking all over the track when that happened, so he had a rough day there. I was pulling for Haley to get close enough to Michael Self to maybe give him a little nudge out of the way and take the win. But I always said she's going to be one to watch. And here she is, being her NASCAR's running in ARCA now. I got audio. Here's Haley after the race in the press conference.
There are post-race media availabilities. For today's Lucas Oil 200, driven by General's Tire, we are joined by our second-place finisher, Haley Deegan, driver of the number 4, Monster Energy Ford. We will open up to questions for Haley. Please raise your hand, and we will get one of these wireless mics. We'll start way back there.
Hey, Haley. Going there at the, you know, those last couple laps, especially when you guys took the white flag, did you feel like there was anything you could do at the end to get around Michael or no? No.
No.
Oh, wait.
Hello? That's... Oh, there we go. Okay. pretty much at the end there, all I wanted to do was finish. My goal for this race was top 3 to top 5 was a victory to me. And so having Michael, I was like, okay, last caution. First of all, I was already just like, please let it go from that last caution before that. I was like, just let it go green. Like, I'm fine with third. Third's good. but then we ended up having that caution, and I was like, oh, my God, Michael's going to take the top. I know Drew would push him behind him. And so I was like, I told my spotter on the radio, I was like, come on, like, think about all the times I've let Michael, like, go past me and stuff in the championship last year. And I was like, I'll help him, I promise, I'll push him, like, I'll let him win. And so that pretty much helped me in the end. I was totally fine with finishing second. I wasn't going to try to do anything to Michael. It's a long season. You have to race against these guys week in and week out. And so it's best to stay on good terms with them.
Any other questions? Off here to Greg.
Well, just to remind you all, last season, Haley did drive for Venturini part-time, so they were teammates then. So I think he owes her a debt of gratitude because she would, and she's shown to do it with her teammate in the K&N Pro East, or no, K&N Pro West. She bumped her teammate out of the way to take the win. But right now, I think she was just happy with that one.
I'll go to Chris.
Greg Engle Auto Week, good job. But it's Daytona. I mean, there's part, you know, and all that.
I know.
Daytona.
I'd say one thing I regret from the past, like, two seasons was making, like, more enemies than I should have, having more grudges than I should have. And that's something this season I really wanted to, especially coming to the ARCA Series, a lot of new drivers, I really wanted to stay away from that. I wanted to have people on my side. So when you do get in situations like where Michael is, where I'll, like, we can help each other. And it gets him a victory, gets me a good finish, and we're both happy. So that was really my goal. Second is a win to me this weekend. And I think winning the first race would have been a little too high of standards for this season. Everything would have been downhill. So at least there's something to work towards.
Go to Chris and then Matt.
ChrisNightKansas.com. Haley, get to do more Super Speedway racing in April at Talladega Super Speedway.
Pocono. I'm going to Talladega.
Yeah,
I thought you meant going to Pocono.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Well, going to Talladega and do more drafting and this type of racing. What do you need? You think you need to learn a little bit more going into that race that maybe can help you get a better finish and get to victory lane?
Yeah, I think there's always room for improvement, room for learning. I think it would definitely – we could have maybe changed the finish a little bit or tried something a little bit more if I had Tanner with me pushing me behind, but I know he had a problem with that kind of stuff. But I think there wasn't much we could do in our situation. But I think at Talladega, I'm still going to kind of go over everything, try to learn as much as I can from this race, and I'm always going to learn something new. Every single race I race, I learn something new.
Go to Matt. Right next to you, Matt.
Matt Weaver, Auto Week. A couple of for you. Just the progression of you learning how to pack race and draft throughout this race. There were some challenges early. You're told not to push in the tri-oval. There's the incident off turn 4, and then the decision-making in the end, how hard you try to push. What was that experience like learning throughout the race?
I think it was constantly, there was moments where I was like, I shouldn't have done that. And then all of a sudden moments where it was like, okay, that's good. And so I think at the level we're at, people have to keep in mind that we're ARCA racing. We're not cup racing. We're not Xfinity racing. We're all, most of the people here are here to learn and to eventually get to that level. So you have to kind of work out the kinks at this level. And so I think I learned a lot of good takeaways from this race, but some things that I shouldn't have done, some things that I could have tried and been more aggressive on, but I think everything that I did during this race got us that second place.
And a follow-up on what you were talking about earlier, trying to avoid the grudges that were held against you, some of the conflict. What went into that? Were you told maybe you should do that, or was that kind of internal?
That was a self-inflicted kind of, it bit me more aces than it should than I thought it should have. So definitely a season is kind of keeping everyone on good terms. Let's all help each other and get some good finishes.
Go to Jim.
Jim Utter, motorsport.com. Given the test you had in January, the test and the race that you did at the 24 hours and even the practice down here, was there anything that really got you ready from actually being in the race? How much different was it from all the steps that you had leading up to it?
I think the biggest thing that helped was practice today, or I mean yesterday, being in that kind of 6-7 car draft that we had and me being able to run up on people, feel how the runs were, feel how our car settled. That was the biggest learning thing I had. Obviously, it was good on the simulator to get comfortable. That was, it's more a comfort thing of your visualization of what you see around, your perspective of everything. That helps with the simulator wise, but I think just the practice was the biggest help for me.
Go back to Chris.
Kaylee, were you content to hunker down in second, knowing that if you probably try to make a move, that Drew Dollar would come in there and knock you out of, you know, a chance because he's a veteran motorsports teammate? So was your goal just to hang out there because you knew? I mean, if Thad could have got to you, you and Thad could have worked together, but he was too far back.
I mean, if Thad was got to me, it would have been a little different story. I think it would have been a little more risky, but knowing that Drew was behind me, I knew he was obviously going to help out Michael. So I couldn't really make any crazy moves, nor was I really going to. I was like, hey, like, just come down on the bottom, on the start, and, like, I promise I'll let you win.
Well, Prince Elise.
SpencerRacingVoice.com. Just curious, David Gillen was pretty sporty back in the day. Did he give you any advice, and what did he say to you after finishing second?
Yeah, on the radio, he was on there during the race saying stuff that, like, stuff that I could do better, stuff that I was doing good. He said I was really, really good, doing good on the restarts, which is something that I don't have a bunch of bigger track restarts down because they are a little bit faster. You are, the gearing's a little bit different, so you have to kind of work through those things, but after kind of getting comfortable to them, David, definitely he was motivating. He's always super positive. That's the nice thing about David. He's super upbeat, always hyping you up, always making sure your positivity is up there.
Go to Deb.
Hey, Haley. Deb Williams, RacingToday.com. Lee mentioned about David Gillen, but with you now being in the Ford Driver Development Program and all the access you have there, were there any of the Ford Cup drivers or Xfinity Truck that gave you some suggestions?
I mean, I've been asking a lot of the IMSA teammates, especially Chase and Austin Cindric. They've been helping me a lot. I've just been kind of picking their brain on everything. But I think that knowing David's race before in the Cup Series, he has all the knowledge pretty much everyone else has. So it's easier to talk to David. I'm really comfortable around David. So it's easier to get information out of him and have him. And he wants to help. He really wants to help because I'm racing for him.
Go to Doug.
There's Natalie Decker. And here is your race winner. With the whole team, the Venerinis, and Michael Self. And I'm pretty sure Haley's name. She's going to be one to watch. I said this before. And if she can keep Monster Energy in a good car, watch out. And I have said this about a couple that I saw had talent, but they didn't get the ride. And the money and a sponsor, you know, it's hard to walk in with a without a big name sponsor like Monster Energy. So, and now she's a Ford development driver. So that means Richard Petty Motorsports, Stuart Haas Racing, Penske Racing, and Roush Racing. Probably going to keep an eye on this young lady. If I were them, I would. Anyway, let's talk to the winning team.
200, driven by General Tire, Michael Self, driver the number 25 Sinclair Lubricant Toyota. Also on stage, Billy Venerini, one of the co-owners of the team. Crew Chief Kevin Reed, another co-owner, and actually the listed owner of the number 25, Kathy Venerini, and her husband Bill, who is the third co-owner, is on his way. So we will start with Michael after he is done with his drink there. Second win here in 3 years. What was the key to parking down in Gatorade Victory Lane here this afternoon?
Yeah, I tell people a lot, one of the most important things to win this race is having a car that stable and drivable. Speed isn't necessarily the main thing that wins you this race. It's being able to be either the car out front or the car in the middle of the pack and being able to hang on to it if you're getting bumped after it or you got a car on your side. And Kevin and all the guys at the Venturini shop have done a phenomenal job giving us those cars. It just makes life easier for us, and it's nice to know you have the speed on top of it. So, like you saw tonight, when you're able to get with a couple of good cars and get out front and get single file, you know, the driver, that's exactly what you want and you hope for in this race. So props to those guys for giving us both those things.
So you had not a bad pit stop, but you got beat off of pit road there the first round. How do you as a driver stay focused and keep your mind, you know, task-oriented that early in the race when you know you've got probably the fastest and best car out there?
Yeah, no, it was a bad stop because I stalled it. So that wasn't good. But like you just said, when you know that you have a really good car and you know, have a nice con so far, you have to be patient in that situation because you want to get back to the front. There's nowhere else you'd rather be. But yeah, I think you see a lot of times guys will make mistakes when they get in that situation or get over their head or try a little bit too hard, and that's when you end up getting caught up in something or you panic on the next stop. And I think Kevin gave me a lot of motivation on the radio when we were going to make that next stop, just kind of about what to do and answer some questions for me. And those guys did a phenomenal job in getting off pit road first, that second one of that race.
And I'll ask Billy Venerini. Billy, you are instrumental in day-to-day operations. You're a crew chief on one of the other cars within the organization. How important is it for you and this team and this entire organization to start off your season in victory lane here at Daytona?
This one's always the most special of all the races we run every year. Daytona is just different. It's just different, and it's the only one we keep track of how many times we win at Daytona. Like the rest, we obviously really want to win, but this place it separates from the rest, and all of them are important and count the same amount of points, but this one's fundamentally the most important one.
And I know we don't have a lot of microphones up here, so I'm going to have Bill and Kathy share Kevin's microphone, and I'm going to come to you two. You two have been coming here since the early 1980s, I believe 1982. How special is it to end up in Victory Lane here again at Daytona for you, Bill, and for you, Kathy, the listed owner of the number 25?
Hey, you can find the one at Daytona.
No.
Means a lot, but I got to tell you, there's the key right here. These three guys, Kevin, Billy, and Michael. I mean, if it wasn't for them, I mean, I'm a small part of this operation. Son runs it all, and Kevin and the guys in the shop, they bust their butts putting the cars together. But this is special, Daytona. You know, I've been coming here actually since 79 at the stand. And we drove home to Chicago one day after we were here, and I told her, someday I'm going to take a lap. Not realizing that, you know, I'd end up getting a race. And then, you know, it just transformed into my son's program when he was driving, and now through our driver development program. We're not developing Michael himself. So he's already developed. He's just.
I thought about the first pit stop. Okay.
And before we talk to Kevin, we'll ask the car owner of the number 25, Kathy. You've been with Bill every step along the way. How cool is this?
This is so cool. I mean, we've been coming here for a long time, and like Bill said, we were coming to Daytona. We started racing at New Smyrna Speedway at Speed Week. And to come to the Speedway and we said, someday we're going to do this, someday. And then to be in Victory Lane and be on the pole, it's just unbelievable.
And a full circle, we're going right back to New
York. That's right. And I'm going to have you pass the microphone over to Kevin. And, you know, Kevin, obviously, winning crew chief, you are the – kind of the shop foreman, so you had a big hand in the victory last year with Harrison Burton. And not only are you celebrating a victory here today, your family is also heavily involved, and your son had a good day here today as well. So you have to just be really proud not only of what you got going on here with your Venerini Motorsports team, but of your son Kevin as well today.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, everybody at Venerini Motorsports works as one. And I say that, and I can't say that enough. I mean, Shannon, myself, Billy, Buddy, Dave, I mean, everybody works as one. We don't compete against each other. We compete against the other 18 or 25 cars that are here. Our cars don't compete. And one big thing about that is me, Billy, Bill, Kathy, Shannon, and those guys are going to be there when the drivers are going to come and go. The names on the doors are going to change, but we're not going to change. And the main thing is we don't race each other to be able to cause any conflict. And, you know, we've had a pretty good go out of it here the last couple of years, and Michael helps that. I mean, he brings a lot of maturity to help you, the other kids that come along, whether it be Christian or even Drew this year. I mean, he's helped those guys mature. So Michael probably won't necessarily go on to be a truck racer or an Xfinity racer or a cup racer, but he has a big hand in those kids that are coming along to help them further their careers. And he's helped all of them. I mean, he helped Christian a tremendous amount that last year. And, you know, I like to say it, we're one team. And, you know, we work together to make it all possible for those guys to separate it on the racetrack.
And if we have any questions, and I know we do have microphones. Please state your name and affiliation.
And there you have your winning team. Also this weekend, pole qualifying for the Daytona 500. And taking the pole and filling out the front row was Ricky Stenhouse. So putting Roush Racing on the pole, and then Alex Bowman in the number 88 as the runner-up. So they will be locked in. And then we have the duels this coming Thursday. So this should be getting pretty interesting. Here's Ricky Stenhouse on winning the pole.
Hey, we're going to get started with our press conference here with our Busch Pole Award winner for next Sunday, 62nd Annual Daytona 500. We have Ricky Stenhouse, Jr., driver of the number 47, Kroger Chevrolet. We will open up to questions for Ricky. Please raise your hand, and we'll get a wireless mic to you. We'll start right here and then go to Jenna.
Luis Torres, Motorsports Tribune. Ricky, how does it feel to run this new Chevrolet and right out of the bat put it on the pole, extending the streak of poles for the manufacturer?
Yeah, it feels way different than the Chevy Camaro that they ran last year. I'm just kidding. I don't know. It's the best driving Camaro I've ever driven. So, now it's cool to keep the streak, and, you know, something that you don't really think about when, you know, Mr. Hendricks shows up in victory lane, knowing that, you know, we're running his engine package, you know, going to the engine shop and seeing all the guys a couple weeks ago and just saying hey to them, you know, something different that I haven't driven. So to keep the streak alive of the Chevys and Hendrick engines on the pole and on the front row is pretty cool, because I know everybody at JTG Doherty Racing has worked really hard this off season, and you know, I think that's what makes it special to me, is knowing that you know, those guys put in the effort, they put in the work, not only just the work, but they knew exactly what to do to make our cars fast, and you know, it's a good way to start our new relationship with JTG.
I'm going to go to Jenna, and then Lee, and then Mark.
Hey, Ricky, congratulations. Do you feel like you've got anything you need to prove something this year, and, like, today was, like, some first step? You know where I'm headed with that?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, there's a handful of us that feel like we have something to prove, you know, and two of those are in my corner with me at JTG Doherty Racing with Mike and Brian, and, you know, I know that I feel like I can still get the job done, you know, behind the wheel and win races like we did in the Xfinity Series. And, you know, I know Brian believes in, you know, what the JTG Doherty, you know, the resources that they have at the race shop, the engines, the Chevys. I mean, he just believes in what they have, and feel really confident that we're going to be able to show what we both can do together. And I'm excited to continue that relationship. That was a huge move for me going over there, bringing people that I'm familiar with that have always been in my corner. And, you know, to go to a whole brand new place, I think I'd have been lost not having them there. But to see the way they mesh with, you know, Jody and Tad and Ernie, the way they've built that place up, they smooth transition right in, and, you know, just being at the shop with with all the new people that the company has, and it's been a good off season, but we definitely have something to prove. And you know, I know that this is Daytona 500 qualifying. It's one lap, it's one weekend, but I know that they're putting the same effort into our Las Vegas car that we're taking to Las Vegas is what they've been putting into our 500 car. So I think this is just signs of things to come of our speed that we're going to have with our 47 team.
And there you have Ricky Stenhouse now driving for JTG, which is part owned by Brad Daugherty. Well, at least it was. And going from Ford to Chevy, Brian Patty, his crew chief, the number 47 Kroger Chevrolet. Anyway, he's running a Hendrick Chevy. And speaking of Hendrick Chevys, Alex Bowman will be starting on the front row with Ricky, and here's what he had to say.
They would be happier if we, like, just put it in front of my face. They didn't have to look at me.
All right. We are now joined by Alex Bowman, driver of the number 88 Valvoline Chevrolet, who will be starting second in next Sunday's Daytona 500 here at Daytona International Speedway. This is the third time that Alex has started on the front row for Daytona 500, and he has been on the front row for four of the last five races here at Daytona. We will open up to questions. Please raise your hand, and we will get a wireless microphone to you.
I mean, not everybody all at once here.
We'll start with Holly and then go to Jerry.
Front row is becoming a very familiar place for you. Could you just talk about this? I mean, this has got to be another, you know, terrific outing. And
yeah, for sure. Obviously, coming down here for 500 qualifying, everybody at HMS puts so much effort into these speedway cars. And as a race car driver, there's not much you can do to make them go faster, but you can sure screw them up. So at least I didn't do that. And I'm just proud of all the guys back at the shop, engine shop, chassis shop, fab shop. We brought four really good race cars, obviously Hendrick engines and the 47 as well. So proud of all those guys. I think we're going to have a great race car in the race. Our clash car has been driving really well as well. So just excited to be back here with the new Camaro body. I think that's going to be really great for us. And Valvoline car looks really cool. So it's been a good weekend so far.
We're going to go to Jerry and then up to the press box to Chris.
Jerry Jordan, kicking the tires on that. Was there any point in your lap where you're like, you kind of knew that it just wasn't there, or did you think you had it?
Well, getting off of turn two, there's a flag at the end of the back straightaway that you can see and kind of see where the wind is at and what it's doing. And the car kind of fell on its face off of turn two, and you could see the flag was pointed straight at me. So I knew we had a really big headwind. So, wasn't really aware of where the winds were for all the other guys. So I was a little worried about that. But obviously, didn't hurt us too bad. Would have liked to be a little better, but still pretty good.
There you go.
There you have Alex Bowman. And the race that all the pole winners get to compete in for some extra prize money, 88 laps, 220 miles, was the Busch Clash. It used to be the Busch Clash years ago. Then it went to the Coors Light something or other. And now the Busch race, Busch Beer has taken it back over, and it's the Busch Clash again. Or, as my wife called it, the Busch Crash, because only six cars finished the race. And Denny Hamlin was a lap down, so and he was able to push the winner, who was his teammate, driver of the number 20, Eric Jones. So Eric Jones gets his first ever win at Daytona. It doesn't count for points, but it's a nice chunk of change in the trophy. And it's his first win in the clash. There were five cautions for 21 laps. Let's see the rundown. Well, we'll give you the top six. Austin Dillon was second. Clint Bowyer, third. Kyle Larson was fourth. Ryan Newman, who started from the pole, was fifth. Denny Hamlin was sixth. And there was only 18 cars in the event. Those seventh through 18th were in this order. Chase Elliott, Ryan Blaney, Joey Logano, Eric Amarola, Jimmy Johnson, his last class ever. He's retiring after this year. Kurt Busch, Kevin Harvick, William Byron, Alex Bowman, Martin Truex Jr., Brad Kay, and rounding out the field, the defending champ, Kyle Busch. 1 hour, 37 minutes. Average speed, 134.9. Margin of victory, 0.697. Not a fun one for those guys there. At least 7 through 18. Everybody else did finish running. And the top five were on the lead lap. So your biggest lap leader, believe it or not, was involved in the wreck on lap 66. And that was Brad Keselowski. He led twice for 33 of the 88 laps. And basically, that was half the amount of laps he run. So, and then you had a bigger wreck later on, took out the rest of the field. So, there were 11 lead changes. No, there were 14 lead changes amongst 11 drivers, and I already told you, 5 cautions for 21. A competition caution from lap 27 to 30, and everything else was incident-related. There were no stages, which is a good thing. So it was the 42nd annual Busch Clash. And it's Joe Gibbs Racing's 9th Busch Clash victory at Daytona, starting with 2001, 2, 6, 7, 12, 14, 15, 16, and 19. He'd had 2020 on that one there, so I guess those were his prior ones. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Now, I think they screwed up on that one. This is 2020, so. And if they're still on from 2001, 2019, what is the 9th one? This would have been the 10th one. And it's the 5th for Toyota. Why'd they call that 2019? I guess, never mind. I guess it's for, it's this year covering last year. That's how they're doing it. All right, so let's hear from our winning team, Gibbs Racing, with Eric Jones.
I'm going to get started here in the media center with our post-race media availabilities from today's Busch Clash at Daytona. We are joined by the crew chief of the race-winning car, which is the number 20 Sport Clips Toyota, with Eric Jones behind the wheel. We have Chris Gale up here. We will open up to questions for the crew chief. Please raise your hand. We will get a wireless microphone to you.
Perfect. Easy.
Start in the back with Ken.
What are you going to do with this car? Is there anything you can do with this car?
No, not really. You know, to be honest with you, we have an allotment of cars we can use this year. Actually, the Clash car is not counted in the allotment, so they're pretty much junk after this race. So we were joking around in Victory Lane. I think Jones is going to get this. But, you know, we did like a whole retro Terry Labonte crash car in Victory Lane kind of photo. So I think he's going to get Coach to give it to him probably.
We're also joined by the owner of Joe Gibbs Racing, Coach Gibbs. We'll continue with questions. We'll go to Jeff here in the middle and then Jordan.
Jeff Cluck from The Athletic. Chris, I mean, is there a way to say, like, how many laps this car had left in it if it was just, you're just going to run on its own?
Not many, because it was running way hot. And we had just kind of decided that last caution. Like, we were going to come back down with a one to go and pull real tight, but it was running too hot. We're like, we don't have a shot to win the race if we do that. So, like, who cares? If it doesn't make it, it doesn't make it. So we had kind of committed to that. But who knows?
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. This question is for both of you guys. We saw it again today. Manufacturers, you know, lining up and racing. Was that the plan in your camp today of going into this race, of we need to stick together? Was there a concentrated effort?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all do what we can to help each other as teammates, you know what I mean? And so I think from our standpoint, we always do that until the end of the race, you know what I mean? So it's a, yes, that was the plan. You know, where we got kind of off sequence and screwed up is when we slid through our box and then we wound up losing a lap. So then we kind of got stuck with three of them out there by themselves and us kind of a lap down. So then that's kind of when the plan changed.
I think it was easier today, too, with fewer cars to try and get together. The problem is you'd like to do that in a 500, but there's so much going on. And, you know, I think you like to work together, but it rarely works out.
Yeah, there was, what, 7 Fords, 7 Chevys, and 4 Toyotas. So the numbers were more even today than they're going to be next week.
Go to Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Chris, I wanted to ask you about qualifying. Is we have seen, especially last year, the Toyotas were not as fast in qualifying. Obviously, the race result turned out well. But with having, was there a concerted effort to find more speed after feeling comfortable about race setup? Or, and how important is that? And kind of maybe you feel like you need to dictate things when you have fewer numbers.
Yeah, I think it goes back to last Talladega last fall. We didn't feel like we had as good of cars as we needed as a group. I think the 20 car qualified the best of the Toyota bunch at that race, and we kind of found something that we thought we could tweak on in the off season and improve. But we definitely, I haven't looked at the average numbers, but we're definitely better than we have been qualifying here for these races. The faster cars win, right? They may not always win, but the numbers are going to show that they win, and they're going to be in better positions in the race to use runs and clear somebody, you know, when they're faster. And so we have made a concerted effort to just make our program better qualifying without hurting race trim.
I'm here to the far right to Hill, and then we'll go to Jenna.
Hill Overton over here, Coach, WNDB Radio. Do you feel like maybe Daytona is kind of a special place that you are destined after the great win you had here last February with Denny, and now the way things are falling, this place has been a real blessing for you and your team. How do you feel about destiny and all that's happening?
Well, certainly Daytona is a special place. And it holds a special place for us because when we first got in racing, our first year, we didn't win anything, and we're kind of second guessing, do we belong here? Is this too big for us? And we won that Daytona 593, and I think that kind of got our race team started. So it was a special place. But then we went like 20-something years without winning it. And so it is a special place for us. The thing I was going to say today, it was a classic example. That was one of the wildest things I've ever been in, racing. And it was a classic example of two crew chiefs and two drivers that really refused to quit. Denny, after that, you know, the bad wreck there for him the last time, they said, should we go to the garage? And both of them, Denny said, no, keep working on it. And Chris said, yeah, okay. And then Eric on this side with Chris, it really was an example of just not quitting. Because everything in the world happened. I said, I don't know what the fans will say about that, but I think they're going to sure talk about it because it was wild. And that was something that was just a rare experience. That may never happen again.
There you have it. The didn't get to Eric Jones. He was doing photo stuff in Victory Lane, of course. But his car had a smashed in front end. I have a picture of it. There's a picture of it on my Garage Talk Live Facebook page, so if you want to check it out. Anyway, this coming weekend we have Friday the 14th, Valentine's Day, the Gander Outdoors Truck Series race. First one of that season will be at 7:30 on Fox Sports 1. Then Saturday, Xfinity in action. At 2:30 Eastern, all times I'm giving are Eastern, on Fox Sports 1. And then Sunday, the NASCAR Super Bowl, the Daytona 500 kicks off at 2:30 Eastern on Fox. Who am I picking this year? That's a tough one, because I was looking at it, and it always seems like it can go anyway, so. I want to take a shot. It's a new team. He's on the pole, so he really don't have to wreck the car in the duels. He probably will anyway to get some some tuning in. We're going to go with Ricky Stenhouse. He's won Daytona in the spring. He's won Talladega. He won two restrictor plate races in a row. He always runs well there, so maybe he with some help, he might be able to take home that checkered flag. So let me say that's who I'm going with. I'm Vinny. We'll see you all next week with a wrap up of the big weekend. So good day and good racing. Bye now.